It's right in front of Carol's head.
Okay, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? All right, we're reading this morning from the fourth chapter of Matthew, and we're beginning at verse 12. Chapter 4 starts out with when Jesus went to the wilderness and was tempted by Satan. And then when he comes back, this is where he preaches. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, and his brother Andrew. I should say Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, whether we're sitting in this sanctuary or we're watching online, be suitable and acceptable to you, dear Lord. Amen. Well, our gospel passage for this morning is about following Jesus. It's about fishing for people. That version of it also is in Mark 1:17. That's why I kept looking. You probably wondered why I kept looking over here. Yeah, my banner that I had for my ordination reminds us that that's our job, to fish for people. Because you see, the world that we're living in, it just seems so messed up right now. There are so many people who are lost and broken and hurting. And I want to say that Jesus is the only hope that we have for us. After Jesus started his public ministry by preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near," he immediately started to gather around him a group of disciples, companions, all on the journey who would later form the church. The passage that Mary Ann read this morning tells us that Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees these two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew. They were doing what they always did. They were fishing. Not for fun, like I fish, because I always throw my fish back, because I don't want to clean them. But they were fishing as a means of survival. They were first century fishermen who were not at the top of the economic food chain, more or less. They were just regular old simple folks. They really were the working poor, doing the only thing that they knew how to do, the only thing they expected to be doing for the rest of their lives. Well, that is, until Jesus found them and said, "Hey, come on, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James and John. They were fishermen as well. Jesus called them, and they immediately left their nets, they left their boat, they left their father, they left their means of making a living, their life's career, and all their previous plans. They just walked away from to follow this guy named Jesus. They had no idea none whatsoever where Jesus was going to lead them, but they jumped out of the boat and went anyway. They trusted the one who sought them out and who called them. They trusted him to faithfully lead them from what they knew and what was comfortable for them into what was unknown and at many times uncomfortable. And in doing so, they became part of something much bigger than themselves. They ended up in places that they never, ever would have imagined being able to go. And doing things they never, ever would have imagined themselves doing. And sharing life and fellowship and service and worship with people that they never, ever would have imagined themselves interacting with. They joined something much larger than themselves. And their lives took on a meaning and purpose they never ever would have otherwise known existed, nor was even possible. And because they chose to follow Christ when he called, millions upon millions upon billions of people, all the way down to our very selves, have been positively impacted by their decision to drop their nets, get out of their boats, and to leave everything behind, and to follow this Jesus guy. Sounds like an exciting story, don't you think? Isn't that something that we all could say, yes, we want to get on board with that. We want to follow Jesus. We want to do what Christ wants us to do. I want to tell you a story. A friend of mine from seminary, and it's interesting that I remembered this story because we were all just reminiscing. A group of us from seminary got together. She lives up in Wisconsin, and we went up there and sat on the lake and chatted, and this is where she shared the story with us. She was doing a group, ministering to a group of children in the summer camp that the UCC offers up there in Wisconsin. And she asked the kids to draw a picture of the church. She assumed that the kids would draw a picture of a church building and a steeple and all those kinds of things. But there was one 8-year-old girl who didn't quite go along with that program. And she sort of stole Jill's message. She drew 5 pictures on her piece of paper. In the upper left-hand corner, well, it would be your left. That's your left. This is my left. She drew a picture of a woman in bed with a whole bunch of people surrounding her. She explained that that was her grandma, and she was in a hospital bed, and the people around her were the pastor and members of her church that were praying for her, for her healing. In the upper right corner, she drew a picture of a can. She said that there are hungry people in the world, and God does not want people to be hungry. So the church shares their food. In the bottom right-hand corner, she drew a picture of a group of kids playing. And in the bottom left corner, she drew music notes with different people of different sizes and different colors. She said that God loves all the people and that the church gathers to sing thank you to God. Then, this is the best part, in the middle of the paper, big enough to invade the space of all the other pictures, she drew a big heart and said, God is love, and we are called to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. This little girl is 8 years old. I ought to check back with Jill to find out whether she's started seminary yet, because it's probably been that long. She's probably at least in college. You know, friends, when we make a decision to follow Jesus, we enter into a way of knowing God and God's reign that requires that we actually, and I want you to hear this, that we actually embody what we say we believe. It's not enough to just do this. We have to do this, and we have to do this, and we have to do this, and we have to do this. It's not enough to just continue to give lip service to what it is that we believe. Following Christ is not a concept. It's a way of life. And the church, that's you, that's us. The church we are, that we are in, means that through God, that God will work through us to fulfill God's purpose. Not our personal purpose, but to fulfill God's purpose in this world. The fact that Peter and Andrew and James and John left behind their nets, their boats, their dads, is an indication that discipleship is not cheap. It's not cheap, friends, to follow Jesus. It comes with a cost. Those folks left their old lives behind in order to follow in the footsteps of Christ. It's the moment when things began to change. And it's the same for us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that the call to follow Jesus is a call to absolute discipleship, and that only in surrendering ourselves to Jesus and to Jesus' commands can we know our greatest joy. So here we sit. We feel a little downtrodden because we're sitting in a mostly empty sanctuary. Folks have chosen to be other places. And that doesn't always mean another church. It means other places. This choice was sort of made for us, but I think that God's got a bigger and better plan for us. We fail sometimes to be swept up into what that bigger picture can look like with Christ. You know, there's a lot of ministries that are going on between Northwest and First. We've got the Broadway Breakfast. We've got the Soup Kitchen. We've got the food pantry at First Church, our food pantry that we do at Laurel Woods. We have our wonderful Children's Learning Center. And oh, by the way, we had 93 folks here for our family picnic on Friday. It was a great time with enough hamburgers and hot dogs to feed 193 people. We provide school supplies to Laurel Woods. We're going to be working closely with Madison School and Measel School. But there's so many other things, I think, that God is wanting us to do. And I think that's part of the reason that all of this has come to be. It wasn't my choice to ask to be moved. I didn't ask that. Neither did Pastor Matt at First Church. It's just kind of part of the plan. And I have to say that God's got a bigger plan. He's got a bigger plan for First. He's got a bigger plan for us. So what other things could we be doing? You know, our public schools are struggling. You all know that. There's not enough teachers. The kids come to school without their school supplies. They're hungry. They're not prepared to learn. Statistics tell us that if they don't have a full tummy when they get there, it's really hard for them to learn. What can we do to help? Yes, we can collect school supplies. We're doing that. Can we make sure that our teachers in the schools have fully stocked closets of supplies that they can give out on a steady basis when kids come to school because they've left their work someplace, they've lost their backpacks, they don't have any pencils, they don't have any pens, and you think, oh no, they've got plenty, we're giving them out here and there and all these other places? They are. But if you had kids, you know, those things get lost, they get broken. They get used up. Our teachers need to be able to help with that, and it needs to come not out of their pockets, but out of the community. Could we make sure that the schools in our neighborhoods have supplies of socks and underwear? If you talk to some teachers, they'll tell you if a kid comes to school without socks, 90% chances he doesn't have any underwear on either. And he probably doesn't have socks and underwear because he couldn't find any when he got up to get dressed by himself in the morning. What about us going into the schools and volunteering in the classroom as another set of hands? Somebody that can help the teachers. Yeah, it's a lot of work. You got to go through a background check and probably some training and some other things, but isn't it worth it to make our schools better? Or maybe we need to meet with our kids after school to help them with their homework, to help them with things they're struggling with, or to just be an adult who listens to them. And how can we support our teachers better? Can we supply snacks for the staff, for their staff meetings, or bring in food for parent-teacher conferences? You know, we talked about all of these things pre-pandemic. If you're sitting there thinking, I think we've talked about this before. We have. And then the pandemic hit, just as we were trying to get things organized with a couple of the schools. And what about us trying to continue our relationship at Laurel Woods? It's not as easy as it used to be, because it's much more transient over there. You know, how can we invite them to attend one of our churches when we're over there handing out school supplies? You know, we need to put some things in their backpack that says, here, worship is at this time, come and join us. I think our churches can have a positive impact in our community. Even though both churches are making great impacts in our community, there's more for us to do. These are just a few of the ideas that I've been praying about over the last few weeks. And maybe God's been laying some things on your heart as well. You need to let me know. Jesus' calling of the disciples is the beginning of the formation of the church, the community of men and women and children that are called out to be engaged in God's mission in this lost and lonely and broken world. The church isn't an end unto itself, but rather a means through which God works to fulfill God's purposes. Those things that we are called to be, what we're called to be a part of. Why has God placed Northwest in this location at this time in history? What's our mission field? What does Jesus want us to do? What lives will be changed because of our decision to leave our nets, to leave our comfort zone, and go and do something different and be with a different group of people, to continue ministering to this community? Because you all know just as well as I do, you wake up almost every morning to hear of some shooting, stabbing fiasco that has happened in our local Michiana community, and not just in South Bend, Mishawaka and Osceola and Niles. Our community. Are we ready to drop our old nets and move on to something else? That's the question. Because God's got a bigger, better plan for us than we could ever possibly imagine. Let's be like Peter and James and John. And let's drop the old stuff and get ready for something new. Because I can't wait to find out what God has in store for us.